In the sleepy coastal town of Longville Beach, a 40-year-old murder haunts the community like a restless ghost. Emily Vaughn was just 17 when she was brutally attacked on prom night in 1982, her 7-month pregnant belly making her an outcast among her peers. The case went cold decades ago, but the questions remain. Who fathered Emily's child? Who wanted her dead? And why can't anyone remember what happened at the party where Emily was presumably assaulted? Enter U.S. Marshal Andrea Oliver, fresh from the academy and carrying secrets of her own. Her first assignment seems straightforward: protect Judge Esther Vaughn from escalating death threats. But nothing about this case is simple. The judge is Emily's mother, and Andrea's biological father might be connected to Emily's murder. As Andrea digs deeper, she discovers Emily's meticulous Columbo investigation notes documenting her quest to uncover who assaulted her at a party she couldn't remember. What begins as a protective detail quickly becomes a journey into darkness, where wealthy families protect their reputations at any cost, and small-town politics mask decades of exploitation. The past and present collide as Andrea realizes she's not just solving a murder, she's confronting a legacy of silence that enabled predators to operate with impunity for generations. Emily Vaughn, Longville Beach's golden girl, refused to retreat when ostracized for her pregnancy. Instead, she conducted her Columbo investigation, methodically interviewing former friends, documenting inconsistencies in a pocket index. "I will find out what happened to me," she wrote, "and when I do, everyone will know exactly who they are." Her former inner circle, Clay Morrow, the charismatic football star, Ricky Fontaine, the wealthy troublemaker, Blake Blakely, her once best friend, and Bernard Nardo Fontaine, closed ranks against her. Each interaction revealed deception beneath their perfect facades. When Clay threatened to make her sorry if she continued asking questions, Emily only grew more determined. In one poignant moment, Emily feels her baby kick while walking home alone and promises, "I will protect you." Hours later, she's attacked with a baseball bat. Emily's meticulous documentation becomes her voice from beyond the grave, guiding Andrea 40 years later. The most chilling aspect of Emily's story isn't the murder, but how the community enabled her abusers. When she discovered her pregnancy, her ambitious mother, Esther, viewed it as shameful, potentially derailing her judicial career. Instead of support, Esther cruelly told Emily, "From now on, every time someone looks at you, all they'll see is a filthy whore." Throughout Longville Beach, victim blaming spread. Dr. Schroeder performed a humiliating two-finger test to falsely claim Emily had been sexually active for a very long time. Her former best friend called her a spoiled whore when Emily confided about her pregnancy. 40 years later, the pattern repeats with vulnerable women at Dean Wexler's farm. Sheriff Stilton fears Wexler's lawyers who could bankrupt the town, while Judge Vaughn pays blackmail rather than exposing Wexler's crimes. This conspiracy of silence creates perfect conditions for predators to operate with impunity, where abusers thrive and victims disappear. Psychopaths watch people, figure out what they need, and become the only person who can give it to them. Andrea's mother's insight reveals how predators like Clay and Dean operate, studying vulnerabilities and positioning themselves as saviors to those craving belonging. Dean's ankle bracelets exemplify this exploitation, transforming from status symbols into shackles. Isolated on a remote farm, these young women are starved into compliance. Melody explains how starvation induces trances where victims become highly suggestible during assault, almost a form of necrophilia. This pattern extends systemically. When Emily confronts her mother about abandoning her education, Esther reveals her true priority, her federal judgeship appointment. The system rewards Esther's sacrifice of her daughter while maintaining a family values facade. These dynamics mirror patterns in cults, abusive relationships, and institutional cover-ups. Predators isolate victims, create dependency, and ensure silence, while those with power prioritize reputation over protection. The novel suggests predatory behavior flourishes in institutions structured to protect power rather than vulnerability. "Why aren't you standing up for me?" Emily asks her mother after being ostracized for her pregnancy. Esther's crushing response, "You are not the type of woman I am modeling for," reveals the conditional love defining their relationship. This maternal abandonment creates generational ripples. Esther's failure to protect Emily leads to Emily's murder, which shapes her daughter Judith's life. Raised by grandparents, Judith grows up knowing her father likely killed her mother. Her trauma manifests in collages, incorporating death threats and fragments of her mother's life. Andrea and Laura share a different complex dynamic. Laura kept Andrea in witness protection, hiding that her biological father is Clayton Morrow / Nick Harp, a psychopathic cult leader. Their relationship strains with mutual distrust. Andrea lies about her assignment while Laura hovers through constant texts. Andrea fears inheriting her father's psychopathic tendencies, joining the system as protection against her darkness. The novel also portrays positive maternal relationships through Melody's protection of Star and Emily's defense of her unborn child. Emily's meticulous pocket index documenting her interviews becomes her strongest defense against gaslighting and helps Andrea solve her murder decades later. Similarly, Franklin's recordings and Andrea's photography create irrefutable evidence authorities cannot ignore. In a world where powerful people manipulate narratives, documentation serves as radical resistance. When Emily confronts Mr. Wexler about driving her home, his denials collapse once she mentions her grandmother witnessed his car. Documentation creates an objective record that cuts through deception. This pattern repeats in public scandals where the powerful deny until confronted with evidence. Despite her youth and isolation, Emily follows Cheese's advice to compare stories, watch for inconsistencies, write everything down, and save the most important question for last. For marginalized individuals whose experiences are routinely dismissed, documentation preserves truth that might otherwise be erased. Emily's pocket index serves as both her voice beyond the grave and evidence of her determination against overwhelming odds. "I've spent my whole life falling," Andrea reflects near the novel's end. "I think I've finally learned how to jump." This captures her transformation from passive observer to active participant. Initially positioning herself in the middle of her training group, Andrea avoids extremes. As the investigation progresses, Andrea takes increasingly bold actions, searching Ricky's house uninvited, confronting Judge Vaughn about her self-sent threats, and rushing into a burning building to save Judith's studio. When she discovers Ricky's suicide attempt, Andrea forces her to vomit the pills, declaring, "You didn't earn it." She later recognizes and refuses Clayton's manipulation. Emily's journey parallels Andrea's. Despite isolation, she investigates independently, confronts former friends, and attends prom despite threats. Her promise to her unborn child represents her most profound act of agency. This mirrors the universal post-trauma journey, moving from reaction to action, from being defined by wounds to defining our own paths. Through courage, connection, and choice, individuals can interrupt generational trauma patterns.